Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the Abomination of Desolation. We've been going through the story of Antiochus Epiphanes, which can be found in Daniel chapter 11. This is Daniel chapter 11. And in today's program, we're going to read through verses 32 through 45. That's Daniel chapter 11, verses 32 through 45. This part of the scripture talks about Antiochus Epiphanes and his blasphemy against God's people and against God himself, and also it talks about Antiochus's death. We've been spending a lot of time on Antiochus Epiphanes, and we have one more program tomorrow to go over also. And we've been spending a lot of time on Antiochus Epiphanes because God spends a lot of time on Antiochus Epiphanes. This is a prophecy from Daniel, and the fulfillment of it is what we're going to be going over more today. So please, let's turn over, and we'll read first in verses 32 through 35 of Daniel chapter 11. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he pervert by flatteries. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he pervert by flatteries. This has rich and significant meaning here. Continue on in the scripture. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It's setting up opposing factions here. On the one side, on the left-hand side, so to speak, you have those that do wickedly against the covenant. But on the other side, on the right-hand side, so to speak, you have the people that know their God. They shall be strong and do exploits. Continuing on now. And they that are wise among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame. So many of these people that are strong and do know their God, they are going to instruct many, yet some will fall by the sword and by the flame. They're also going to fall by captivity and by spoil. This is a tribulation that comes against the people that are opposed to those who do wickedly against the covenant. And it says that this is going to occur for many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. And what God always will do is give us the help that we need. He will never allow us to suffer more than what we are able to stand. But he will always make some way of escape. He will never leave us or forsake us. But many shall join themselves unto them with flatteries, these people that are strong. Other people are just going to be hangers-on. And some of them that are wise shall fall. Why? To refine them and to purify them, and to make them white, even until the time of the end, because it is yet for the time appointed. So what does this mean here? I'm going to break it down. It says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant. There are some who became willing to receive pagan religions. There are some that actually turned away from the worship of the true God and accepted the pagan religion that Antiochus was trying to force down the people's throat. If you were with us in the previous program, you heard about Jupiter Olympius. He was the god that Antiochus, this is a Grecian god, this was the god that Antiochus and the religion that Antiochus was trying to push onto the Jewish people, and some actually turned away. So they did wickedly against the Holy Covenant. This was the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel when he took them to be his chosen people, his holy priesthood, his royal nation. And some people actually did wickedly against the covenant by turning away. This part that says he shall pervert by flatteries, what does that mean? It means that Antiochus guaranteed promises of his favor. He promised that he would give people certain offices, high offices, and he promised also national prosperity. And people were seduced into utter apostasy. Some people fell for this. That's what it means, that he shall pervert them by flatteries. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. There were those who had adhered to the worship of the true God. They hung tough no matter what persecution came their way, even death. People still, many of them, hung on. They did not let anyone take their crown, so to speak. they remained faithful, a great lesson for us. They were persecuted, again, some even to death. That's what it means here when it says that the wise among the people shall instruct many, yet many shall fall by the sword and by the flame. People kept on teaching the truth, warning against the apostasy, this abomination of desolation that had been set up, this idolatrous practice, this false religion, these horrible pagan practices that people had instituted in the name of God. And it was really to a pagan god, to Satan himself, who inspired them to fall down and worship Jupiter Olympus instead of following the true God, Yahweh. So they were persecuted to death, but many people stood up and told the truth and allowed themselves to be killed rather than forsake the truth. Now it goes on to say, now when they shall fall, there should be help with a little help. God delivered many people, but many shall join themselves unto them with flatteries. That means that some people, they just were hangers-on to these people who were really standing up for the truth. But why did God allow this? It says he's going to allow some of the wise people to fall. Why? To refine them and to purify them. In other words, God wants to shake the tree to see who is really there, because they love God with all of their heart, might, and soul, or to see if they're there just for some other reason. So God allows some of the wise people, some of the people that of God that are strong, that are doing these exploits of standing up against this great apostasy by Antiochus. They are standing up, and he allows some of them to be killed to see if the other people who were hangers-on, to see if they would still hang on, or see if they would let loose, if they would cut rope and run. And some, unfortunately, did do that, and then they were swept away into the apostasy. And it happened for a long period of time, this persecution. It really happened from about 175 to 165 BC, 10 years of severe persecution at the hands of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now let's go on to verse 36 through 39. This is Daniel chapter 11 and verses 36 through 39. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And he shall prosper for how long? Not forever. He shall prosper until the indignation be accomplished. And we're going to discuss what this indignation is. So he shall prosper until the indignation be accomplished. For that which is determined shall be done. Somebody determined that something shall be done, and that something was done. And we're going to discuss who that is that determined that this indignation would be accomplished. Neither shall he, speaking of Antiochus, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his place shall he honor the God of fortresses. This was a person that honored military power. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. And he shall deal with the strongest fortresses by the help of a foreign god. This was Jupiter Olympus. Whoever acknowledges him, he will increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for a price. So in other words, people that were in league with him, he did them favors. Those who were opposed to him, he slaughtered them. So let's go back and break this down a little bit. It says, and the king shall do according to his will, and shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. What this is saying is that Antiochus assumed the right to determine what god should be worshipped in Jerusalem. He abolished the worship of Jehovah, and he set up that of Jupiter Olympus in the stead of Jehovah. And now going on, it says, and he shall prosper until the indignation be accomplished. And so throughout his whole dominion, by a proclamation, he forbid the worship of any god but his. And you can find a historical correlation to this in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verses 44 through 51. Now, why was it called the time of indignation, until the indignation be accomplished? Well, this may sound very harsh, but God does chastise his people, and he will use foreign nations to do that. Now, why would God chastise his people? Because if the majority of people are falling into apostasy, falling away, this falling away that we have prophesied in the New Testament, this is an example of this, where people were falling away from the Holy Covenant, from the Old Covenant, where God made it with the physical nation of Israel. And if the majority of people are falling away, are committing apostasy, then God brings indignation, or God is indignant, and he brings hostility against the people to punish people, not because he hates the people, but because he loves the people and wants the people to learn the lesson that sin sucks, sin does not pay, sin is horrible, and it should be avoided at all costs. So God will spank his children out of love to get them to turn around. And that's what God is trying to do here. So God says that he's going to prosper Antiochus until the indignation be accomplished, until God is finished with his chastisement. For that which is determined shall be done. God has determined that this abomination of desolation would be set up so that his people would get the message that sin does not pay. And that's exactly the lesson that God will be teaching in the future when he allows the abomination of desolation to be set up again. Now it goes on to say in verses 36 through 39, it says that he's going to magnify himself above all. In his place he shall honor the God of fortresses. What is this saying? It is saying that Antiochus set up Jupiter Olympus and said again that no God except for that God which he had chosen. So he's putting himself up also as the one who has the authority to say, this is the true God, this is the one that you should worship. That's what this means here. And he used force to try to ram it down people's throat. Now in verses 40 through 45, I'll read this very briefly without much explanation. Verses 40 through 45 of Daniel chapter 11. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south contend with him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass through. He shall enter also into the glorious land, which of course is Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall be delivered out of his hand, Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. He's going to be right there, about to take them over. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, and he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly sweep away many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the sea and the glorious holy mountain, which is Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now, I'm not going to offer much explanation here, because this could be a review of earlier events, or it could apply to Antiochus's downfall. But I believe that this is for the future, that this is a prophecy. So we'll cover this in the future.